to be here. It's good to be anywhere. I just got word that I'm going to be a great, great grandpa again. I like it. Let's go ahead and turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 25. Most of y'all know my heart is in missions, and usually when I get to preaching, somehow I get around to missions somewhere in the message, or just turn it all into missions. But many times I've been asked, people say, how do you folks do it? How do you just pick up and go to another country and live there and do these things? You know, our kids, they're over there and they're around Muslims every day. And all of what's going on in the world. And people back here, they don't think about those things, but that's our life. They say, how do you do that? Well, let me explain it like this. Back in the day, if you took $1,000, and that's all you invested for the rest of your life, if you invested $1,000 in Microsoft, you'd have $1.5 million today. If you invested that same $1,000, didn't invest any more, in Apple, you'd have $1.6 million today. If you took that same $1,000 and you invested it next door, some of you fast food people know what I'm talking about. McDonald's, you would have $10 million. If I had only known. You ever ask yourself that? If I had only known. Boy, I would have taken $2,000 and put it in McDonald's, not just buying hamburgers either. I mean, we would have been set if I had known. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 35. The Bible says, for I was an hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye've done it to me. What are they saying? We didn't know it was you. If we had just known. And then you have, he talks about the lost people, that they wouldn't go to the hungry, they wouldn't feed them, they wouldn't give a cup of water, they wouldn't do it. And they said, well, where'd we ever put you out? And he said, because you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. So when did we see you? We didn't. Had they known, you think they'd have done things different? Think they'd have given that cup of water? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'd turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we get a much clearer picture of this. And I'll get back to the mission part here in just a little bit. But he says in verse number 6, 1 Corinthians 2:6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For, read it with me, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but as it was written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. They didn't know. The lost world does not have an idea what God has prepared for them. They have no idea what's out there, what God wants to do in their life. And he says, but God, verse 10, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Had they known, had they known. When my finger, when I was a kid, I was helping Dad with feeding, shoveling out of a big truck into the pickup to go feed the hogs or whatever it was. And as a little kid, I wanted to help Dad. I mean, I loved it. Loved farming, loved out there. And boy, he backed that pickup up and he hit the back of it. And you know how they bounce forward a little bit. I thought Dad was done. I wanted to help Dad. Man, I started scurrying up there when he come back the second time. And that's the result. Had I known, I would have waited a little bit longer. When I started thinking about this, the passengers that went in them airplanes that flew into the towers, had they known that they were going to be a bullet and hit them towers, they'd never got on the plane. One of the guys that I went to Bible college with, he's now an evangelist. But his mama begged him, don't go with the team, drive down later, wherever they was going to play a football game. And he said, I went home, stayed with mom that night, got up in the morning, she brought the paper in, laid it in front of me, and I read my own obituary. Plane crashed and everybody on there, and they thought he was on there because he was part of the team. And he read his own obituary where he had died. Had they known, they wouldn't have got on the plane either. I think about Hezekiah. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine, an evangelist, Brother Bill Pitzenbarger. He's 89 and really in bad health. But we was talking about this today, about Hezekiah. When we talked about our life and the physical problems that we have and what he has, and he can't hardly even, he can't walk, do nothing now, and he can't preach. But he said, I wouldn't change a thing, Brian. He said, going back when they diagnosed me with this, he said, I probably wouldn't ask for it, but I wouldn't change a thing. The illness that he gave me. And that prompted my thought, and I said, that's like Hezekiah. Hezekiah's laying on his deathbed there, and God said by the prophet, you're going to die. And he started whining and carrying on, which probably all of us would. None of us want to die. But he starts saying, God, give me more time. Don't let me die. Don't let me die. And God said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. During that 15 years, he produced a son that turned out to be a wicked reprobate. that sent Israel into just a tailspin. As Hezekiah, when he's sitting there, if he had known what was going to happen in his family and with his son, he probably would have said, okay, God, go ahead, take me. But he didn't know. Had David known that Doeg would report to Saul that David had been there with Ahimelech, and Ahimelech and all the prophets was summoned to the king, and then the king killed every one of them, graveyard dead. And David says, had I known, he said, I thought maybe something bad might happen, but had he known that they was all going to be killed, David would have done something different. Had they known, God calls people. God calls people to mission fields. I can't tell you how many times somebody's come up after a service and when we preached a mission conference, and they'll say, preacher, when I was a teenager or when I was a young person or whatever, God called me to missions and I didn't go. If they would be able to have looked into the future and saw the thousands of people that they would have brought to Christ that are burning in hell because they didn't go. Had they known. Even Satan here in the passage, Satan and his angels did not know. Don't give Satan more credit than he gets. They didn't know. I mean, he was out there just like the other angels. I mean, they know a lot, but they didn't know that. Because God said, had they known, they wouldn't have crucified him. And we'd all been lost sinners. Had they known, if we look into the future, and we see, we'd make different decisions day after day. If we had known that there are things that in our life, we would have changed them. But we didn't know. It all comes down to knowing. And whether we believe God. And I'd say the great majority of the American people that call themselves Christians say they believe God and they do not. They do not. How do we keep going? How do you keep going? Working in a factory. How do you keep going as a nurse? How do you keep going as a farmer? How do you keep going doing what you're doing day after day after day after day? How? Well, let's take missions for example, because that's, again, where my heart's at. You think of David Livingston, Robert Moffat, C.T. Studd, Hudson Taylor, David Brainerd, Chalmers, all, you can just go on and on. Chalmers was eaten by the people that he went to preach the gospel. Why did they go? What made them go? Why were they willing to sacrifice? I can tell you why. Because they knew. Satan and his angels, they didn't know. But these men knew. What did they know? They knew the knowledge of God. They knew the end of the story. They knew that Jesus rose from the dead. They knew that Satan was defeated. They knew that Jesus is coming again. They knew the gospel. One time we was in a building. I can't even remember where it was at. It might have been up in Toronto or someplace. And they took us up on this, about the 15th floor of this place. And the guy that was with us kind of showing us around, we walk out here, and here's this place. It's from about here, clear over to about here. And it's just about that wide, big old square. And it's glass. And you're looking down 15 floors. And he said, go ahead, walk on it. I said, you're out of your mind. That's what I told him. He said, no, you. Finally, he got me to. And I see other people walking on it. But have you ever been as a kid, you're out there and the pond's froze over and you're out there kind of walking on it and you hear this and you freeze. And you don't want to move because you're afraid it's going to again and you're sliding back trying to get away from that crack before you fall through the ice. That's the concept I've got in my mind walking on this thing. Now, I finally did, not for long. And I don't plan on going back. Mama raised a dummy, but not a fool. Why could you walk on something like that? Because you know. They've tested it. They've put men fatter than me. They've put stress tests on it and everything, and they know it will hold you. I still don't believe them. And because of that, I don't just walk out there on it. You may know Jesus is coming again. You may know he died. You may know he rose again. You may know what he promises. But if you will not trust him, you don't believe it. Oh, you can see it. You can hear it. He told me it was safe. I still don't believe him. And that's why I'm not going to walk on that thing. Now, we've got to understand something. God knows what's coming. He knows what's tomorrow. He knows what's next year. 10 years, 20 years, whatever the Lord tarries. He knows what's ahead of us. How many of you know what you're going to do next week? Not what you think you're going to do. No, you don't. You know a lot of stuff. You don't know that. We don't know. And it all boils down to this. God says something. He can see down the road. And if I believe God's word, I'll walk out there on that glass. I'll walk across it. I'll jump up and down, whatever. If I believe it. Now, with the glass, I don't believe them. I just read a thing a while back that where one of them did break. And I thought, huh? God's never failed in one promise. Now, it says in this passage that Satan and the angels did not know or they would have changed things. But listen to me. God says, God hath revealed them unto us. We know these things. God has proved himself over and over. Why did he write all these things in the scriptures? Why did he write to us and tell us all of a sudden these guys think they're going to die and they come to Jesus and wake him up? He's back there taking a nap. He couldn't be 70. And I know it's a law that after 70, you're required you take a nap. So I think we ought to roll that back a few years. Amen. He was back there taking a nap. And they go wake him up and say, don't you care that we perish? He said, oh, ye of little faith. Peace be still. Storm's done. What was he doing? He was proving to them who he was. And that's what he does for us. Now listen to this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know how I know if you believe it? Have you given yourself? I mean given yourself. I mean sacrificed yourself. A living sacrifice to God. Given your body back to him. It's not yours. You don't tell him where you can go and where you can't go and what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. God says, it belongs to me. If you believe me, he says, make it a sacrifice. Present your bodies to me. I can remember the day I did. I walked down that aisle. I went over to the side, over along the side of the over in Rota, Spain, on the altar over there, and I poured out my heart to God and said, you have everything I have. You have me, you have my wife, you have my children, you have my career, you have everything I have. And he took it all. I had plans. And he changed every one of them. And he took my children. And he did a whole lot better job than I would have done. Took my career, sent me in a whole different direction. When you present yourself to God and totally take your hands off and say, God, here am I. I'm yours. You'll see revival start in this church. Now, what did he do? He said, we can do these things. We can present our body a living sacrifice to God because we know. These aren't just words or phrases. These are truths from God's word. We know he can do what he says. We know he will do what he says. We know that he keeps every promise that he makes. And if I believe that, I can walk out there and never fear. How could Stud go to these countries? How did Livingston go to these countries? How did they leave their families behind? How did they go through what they did? Why? Because they knew. They could trust God. You say, but some of them died on the mission field. Most of them did. Exactly where God wanted them. You're going to die here too. So if you're going to die, you might as well die in the will of God and have God's blessings. We need to be saved. We know that. We hear it all the time. Then go. What? Surrender. Not to be a missionary. I'm not asking you to surrender to be a missionary. I'm not asking you to surrender to be a preacher. I'm saying surrender to God's will, whatever that is. It's different for every individual. God has a purpose. God has a plan for every individual's life, and every Christian should surrender themselves to God and let God map the course. Why? Because he knows. He knows what's down the road. You don't know what's down the road. I don't know what's down the road. But he does. And because he knows, I can just follow him wherever he wants me to go. He knows what's best. God has designed his way to accomplish his purpose in his time to fulfill his task. All I have to do is surrender myself and say, God, wherever you want. We come in the second morning out of doing the all those Gospel of John and Romans. And the first day I was over there folding the top. I keep saying bulletins. They're folding the covers and everything, and we was having a good time. We had fellowshipping and cutting up, having a great time, and no problem. But I went in the next day, and I said to the pastor and to Jeff, I said, where do you need me the most? And he put me over on a stapler. Hope I never see another staple in my life. But it doesn't make any difference what I wanted to do. I was going to go over there and give Dave a hard time again all day long. But God said, no, I want you over here. Let's go. It's really that simple, folks. It really is. Now listen, God is the one that chose the church, not us. God is the one that chose the method of soul winning, getting the gospel to the world through human instrumentality. We didn't choose that. God is the one that established the program of missions. That's why he sent Paul and Barnabas as the first missionaries out of the local New Testament church. That's why he says that every believer should be involved. Every believer should be involved in all of these things. This is not your decision. You don't have to pray about it. Why? Because God said it's my will. You just have to do it. Listen to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. God gives us promises, and he says he knows what's best. We say, well, I can't give. God says, you give, and I will make sure that you get abundance. You give $5, doesn't mean he's going to give you $25. But he can keep you from getting that old nasty flu and going to the doctor and spending $189 on medicine. Just like he did in Israel in the wilderness, he can make your shoes last for 40 years. They didn't wear out. Style might have changed a little bit. He's going to bless us if we obey. When are we going to obey? When we believe. When we know that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's very simple. So what does God have in store for me? Now, I'm missionary. Don't put missionary in there. What does God have in store for you? And he tells us. It's called discipleship. He said, we are to become disciples. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto ye, there is no man. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. There is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. He said, they hath left, those that hath left, you make the first move. God's already done the rest. He said, you make the first move. You step out on faith. He said, you leave first, and then God's going to bless. That's why he says, go. Not sit there. Go. Are we going? We have to step out on faith. Oh, there's going to be problems. Does anybody here not have problems? And they have problems on the mission field. My wife's talking to Alicia today, and there's a problem somewhere over there. Listen, everywhere you're at, don't make any difference where you are in the world, there's going to be problems. And he said, when you serve God, he said, there's going to be persecutions. There's going to be problems. That's a part of life. So why can we face it? Because we know. We know. It's a great promise. And to finish it off, he tops it off with, hey, don't you realize, don't you know, you're going to have eternal life. Think about eternity a little bit. Your eternity and the eternity of those that you bring to Christ or don't. As I started going through this message and preparing it, and in a little bit I'll mention a few things, but the hundreds. I've had people walk for miles just to come and sit down in my banda and say, Pastor, thank you so much for coming to Africa and bringing us the gospel. I've had people stop me on the streets. They've come to our church and thank you so much. So how can we live this Christian life? First or Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Now what's all mean? All means all, and that's all means. He said, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is not one excuse for us not getting through life and living godly outside of ourselves. That's God's plan. That's God's will. He has equipped us with everything we need. Notice, he says, through the knowledge of him. They knew. Satan didn't know. The lost world doesn't know. Christians know. And because of that, he said, I've given unto you people, through the knowledge of God, all things that pertain to life and godliness. The knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, By these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How can we do this? How can we live a Christian life? Because we know. If you know what the outcome, you can stand tall. If you know the outcome, you can go through the trial. If you know Him the way He wants you to know Him, He's written it all down for us. Because we know Him, we can live that Christian life. We can do what God says. We can go where God wants us to go. Because we know. They didn't know. We have what we need. So I don't know if we have, people say, well, I'd surrender, but I don't know how I'm going to get money. He knows. It's not up to you to know. He knows. Walked into a church, preached a mission, one little sermon Sunday night, and went out to supper. We just had a good time, me and this guy and his daughter, and we're just talking about a little everything. Preacher said, I want you to come by and get your love offering check. And I said, okay, so we'll drop by. He said, and he handed me another envelope. He said, the guy you had supper with last night, he said he just wanted you to have this. Now, I had just been up with the pygmies and working with them, and the mayor of the city asked us in front of his city council and everything to come to Kanungu and start a Bible-believing church and a Christian radio station. When he asked me that, in my mind, I'm thinking, that'd be great, but there is no way. I don't have $30,000. He said, I want you to open it. And open that envelope, and here's a check for $30,000. Because he knows. I don't know. The mayor didn't know. But God knew. And I could go over and over and over and over hundreds of stories. How God knew and God supplied and God provided just everything. The timing, it is absolutely amazing. Why? Because God knows. He knows. We have the manpower. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers. No, we don't have the manpower. No, we do. When I said manpower, what come to your mind? Did you think maybe Brother Chad come to your mind? Maybe he can go? Or did you say, okay, Brother Clay, he can go? Or Brother Jerry, he can go? No. You are the manpower. Yourself. That's the manpower God has chosen. Whether you go or not, that's up to you. But you are the manpower. And we have to get that in our mind that we can do these things because God said we can. We have the manpower. Don't worry about other people. Go. You go. We have the resources, we have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit of God, we have an omnipotent God. What more do we need? If you know we have everything. So when God says, I want you to go, yes, sir. He might send you to work in a grain place. That may be where God wants you. He may be having one of you in a farming business, or he may have one of you in a factory or something. God knows exactly where he wants you, and if you surrender to him and trust him, he can see where you're going, and he can put you there and do absolutely amazing things through you. Listen to Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God didn't spare his own son, do you think after he's went to the cross and risen from the dead and all of this and he comes to this point and he said, okay, I'm out of resources. I can't help you. You're on your own. No. He's not going to do that. He said he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will provide. Where God calls, he supplies the need. All things. All things. Remember he said 100-fold? If you leave your father, your mother, your kinfolk, whatever, all of this, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'll give you all this back. He said, I'm going to increase 100-fold. He's given me exactly what he promised. I've got one of the greatest wives in the entire world. I've drug her all over this world. He's given us a wonderful, happy marriage. You can't put a price on that. He's given us homes all over the world. Places that we've slept in. We've slept in everything from a mud hut to almost like a palace. God has given us beautiful homes. I got a beautiful home right now. Godly children, every one of our children serving God. Every one of our grandchildren that's old enough to have a brain. Some of them are wondering about. They're serving God. Grandchildren serving God. How many of you would like a whitewater raft down the Nile River? That'd be awesome. Sit in the middle of an elephant herd as they're walking all around beside your vehicle and everything, and you're holding your breath. Watch baby hippos born in the wild. Lions in front of you, behind you. And the little pygmies come up to about here. Get out in some of them little mud huts and just enjoy the rats. Lived in 6 countries, many other countries that we visited. Had a wonderful ministry, still have a wonderful ministry. 100-fold. We've got Bible institutes. We've privileged and honored to pastor and to be a missionary and to be a professor and to build and own and operate 3 different radio stations and Bible institutes and help start 13 different churches out there in the bush and all over the place and have thousands of nationals and hundreds of brothers and sisters and moms and dads and all kinds of, you talk about a family, you guys are much closer to me than my physical family. God has promised and he has delivered exactly what he said. Why? Because he knows. Why could we go over there? Because we know. We know that not one promise that God makes will fail. Has nothing to do with my talent, my ability. You probably understood that by now. Not because I can wax eloquent. I slaughter the king and the queen's English, if that's what they call it. We've established radio stations, or churches that we haven't even been in the place. I was telling Brother Pitzenbarger on the phone today. We was out there, my son, Andrew. He was out there, goes up on the side of Mount Elgon. He's preaching in a village. And people get saved. They start talking about going back and getting them baptized next week or two down in Mbali where they're at. And they said, well, there's a Baptist church up here somewhere. And they said, what? So they get in the vehicle. So they start finding it, go all the way up here on Mount Elgon. Here they finally talk to people and point them to this guy. And he said, yeah, it's in my house there. Well, who's the pastor? They said, Brian Stensis. He said, no, that's my dad. He said, he ain't never been on this mountain. He said, well, I was listening to Life Radio down in Soroti and preached the gospel and I got saved. And he said, I got excited and I got my family, my wife and my kids in here and they're listening and now they get saved. And he said, and we really got excited, so we started inviting the villagers and the neighbors and friends and stuff, and they come in, and they start getting saved, and so we just have a church here. And he's my pastor. Twice we've found that. I don't know how many more is out there. Had we not gone, had we not known that God knows, all those people would still be going to hell, or they're already. Why do missionaries go? Why do they leave their country, their families, their career, their comfort? Because he knows. He knows the way, and we don't. Surrendering doesn't mean that you're going to be a missionary or a pastor. But trusting him and placing your life in his hands and allowing him then to put you where he wants you to accomplish that job where you are. That's what he wants. Everybody should be willing to simply say, God, you said it. I don't understand it. I believe it, and I'm just going to obey. I'm going to give my body. I'm going to surrender my life back to you. God, would you take it and use it however suits you, however sees fit, and to God be the glory. Because we know, had they known, they would have done it different. But we know, and so we can do it right now by surrendering to him. Because he can see in front of us. He knows what's in store. He knows what he wants and how he wants to bless us. I've never gotten over this verse in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. They didn't know, but God knew. And he said, I want to bless you if you'll just follow me. I have great plans for you. Trust him. Let him lead. Surrender your life. Do you know? Do you know? We all say, well, we wish we had of invested in Microsoft or McDonald's or whatever. Too late now. If we don't follow the Lord now, it's too late. Because when we get to that judgment seat of Christ and give an account of that we have done in the body, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We have the opportunity to do it right now, and that's to present our body to him and take our hands off and say, God, it's yours. Everything I have. Everything I own, my career, everything. Now be careful. He may take it all. I wouldn't trade 1 minute of all that we've been through. I wouldn't trade. I told Bill, I said, I believe with all my heart God gave me my feet problem so I'd be right here in this church doing what we're doing and preaching out and preaching here and trying to encourage people. You may be here tonight and you don't know if you died today whether you'd go to heaven. You say, well, preacher, we're this Wednesday night. I don't care what night it is. Church this size, there's no doubt. People that come to church, they're still lost. They put on a good show, but in their heart, they know if they died today, they'd go to hell. God says, I'm the way. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, he'll give you eternal life. He knows. He knows. Do you? Father in heaven, Lord, we want you to know our hearts. We want people to know Jesus Christ before it's too late. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be like Isaiah and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Here's my body. Here's my career. Here's my family. Here's my retirement, my bank account. Here's everything. It belongs to you. God, have your way in each heart. Each life. Can you not say that? Honestly, if you can't say that, there's something wrong. There's a serious spiritual problem. We say we trust him, but we don't. Do we know? Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.